A moment to pray. Gracious God, generous God, you have been so kind to us during this Christmas season, 2013. We are well prepared. This is the eve of your son's birth. Grant that our hearts might be as Bethlehem, a stable prepared to receive the offering that you have for us. Let our hearts make a cradle for him who yearns to come and to give us the rebirth that we so desperately seek and desire. It's in Jesus' name that we cry out to you, Holy God, come and minister your word to us even now. Amen. You know, we live on the edge of a section of woods and many acres back there and some farmland nearby. We live about a quarter mile, a fifth mile off the blacktop. And so you have to make your way in. And over the last few days, with some of the blasted trees and the wires down, it really does look like a war zone. What really impresses me is the way that the trees, the boughs of pine trees, and we know that pine is a soft wood, and some of them snap under the weight, but others, I could almost think that I see angels bending near the earth, almost, if you have a vivid imagination, with the snow and the ice on the branches, angels bending near the earth. I don't know about you, but I love to be out in the woods. I simply love it. It's a place I like to spend most of the summertime outdoors, if possible. But there are those moments, especially at night, when you get toward the woods, and as you look into the woods, you're met with this incredibly deep darkness, almost impenetrable to the eyes. And when you listen carefully, you hear the rustle of creatures that you can't identify. There are things going on in the woods, and I don't know what's happening up there. And every now and then, where we live, you'll see a coyote, or is it a coy dog, perhaps? Not sure. There is the occasional fox, and we think a family of foxes may have moved back into our area. No catamounts yet, I'm pleased to report. I'd like to see one of those, wouldn't we all in Vermont? Maybe they're still here. But there's nothing that can compare to the sound. Well, I guess we all know this. There's really nothing that can compare to the sound of a fisher cat. A fisher, more properly. If you've ever heard one of those, it's a savage, fierce noise. It sounds like a baby being tortured, screaming in agony. It's a sound that will absolutely make the hair on the back of your neck stand up straight. It's a sound unlike any other. And when you hear the certain things happening in the dark and the deep and in the woods like that, it can make you jump, especially if you're not expecting that. If there's a sudden rustling or a movement, right, Ethan? And suddenly it causes you to startle, and you just jump. And in those moments when you don't know what there is to see and what's going on, I think it's natural to jump, to be just a little bit anxious. Well, on that night, when the shepherds were out keeping their flocks and minding their own business, and they were keeping watch as one naturally would, especially in the darkness, over their flocks, and this wasn't far from the place where Jesus was born, and suddenly there appeared to them an angel who stood before them. Now, when Luke tells us that the angel stood before them, what he means is that he blocked their way. They weren't going any further. If there had been a path, they would have had to go right through him. He blocked their way. Uh-oh. You talk about creepy, crawly things that go bump in the night? This was a problem. Suddenly there was an angel standing in their way. And then we are told by Luke that the glory of the Lord surrounded them. Now, I think about being enveloped, and that's a good thing when you sit in front of the fire. It feels so good. But suddenly they realize that they were surrounded by the glory of the Lord. I have no idea what that would be like. Do you? I can't even imagine it. I can just imagine the sudden, intense brilliance filling the room. If only we could see that here tonight, I think we would all be dazzled. We would probably have to look away if it were that intense. But it says that they were surrounded. There was no escape. There was nowhere else to go. Do you think you'd be afraid? The angel caught on quickly. He understood that on that night they were courageously challenged, if we say it that way. In other words, they were startled. They were afraid, and rightly so. What's exciting about this passage to me is that the angel immediately recognizes that, and he seeks to assuage their fears. He speaks directly to them. Luke tells us that they weren't just frightened, but they were terribly frightened. Talk about an understatement, terribly frightened. Are you kidding? This was probably the worst thing that had ever happened to them. They were enveloped, surrounded by the glory of the Lord. And then the angel spoke to them and said those wonderful, comforting, reassuring words. What were they? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. And immediately spoke to their deepest concern, and then went on to add this, "Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which is for all people." It was a threefold antidote to their anxiety, a threefold blessing that they received from the angel. "I bring you good news of a great joy, which is for everyone." Well, I don't know how it is for you, but most of the news in my life and my world tends to be bad. That's what usually gets their press coverage. Good news, well, it doesn't always make the headlines or the front page. It's not always the first thing that comes up on your tablet. It's usually bad news. I don't know about you, but I get those phone calls. There's been an accident. Something has happened. Have you heard that someone just got rushed to the hospital? Can you come now? Yes, I can come. Have you heard that there's been a shooting? Do you know that somebody's at risk for losing their home? They're about to repossess it. That's the kind of news, and those are the kinds of phone calls that I often get. But this night, to the shepherds, it was different, and so unexpected when they were suddenly surrounded and their way blocked by the angel of the Lord. What they heard was different. It was news, and it was new, and it was fresh, but it was good. It was glad and not sad, and it was completely different than anything they might have expected. And it was totally unrestricted because it was for everyone. It was going to be a win-win situation for everyone. It wasn't, you need to lose so that I can win, which is so often the way the world seems to work, but it was a win-win for everybody. It was for all people. Imagine somebody finding the cure for malaria or AIDS or for cancer, every form of cancer. Wouldn't that be good news for the entire world, for all people? Well, that's what the angel brought that night. Good news for everyone who was alive. Now, make no mistake, however, as we hear the scripture and read the story, there was a reason to be afraid, and good reason. I had a seminary professor years ago, Richard Schief, and he always used to say to us, as he'd kind of rub his beard, "The gospel is bad news before it's good news." Just remember, it's good news, but it's bad news before it's good news. And that's exactly what the angel understands. And if you go back to Isaiah, the first reading that Donna brought for us tonight, we understand that to hear Isaiah foretell it, that God is going to get even with his enemies. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like you were on the wrong side of God? Have you ever wondered if you were at peace? Have you ever felt those moments of anxiety when you knew that things weren't quite right with your life? Perhaps you can imagine then reading Isaiah and hearing these words, that God is about ready to get even with his enemies and to discover that it's time for paybacks. And I don't know about you, but the shepherds had a good reason to be afraid. Without bad reason. They knew there were things in their lives that weren't quite right. And I don't know about you, but I love feel-good movies. I can't help it. I love all the James Bond movies. I just do. I love the pyrotechnics. And I don't know who your favorite is, but all I have to do is say Sean. Anyway, you probably know who mine is now. He played it the best. He was the first, and he's still and always will be perhaps the best, at least in my eyes. But you watch those, and beyond all the pyrotechnics and the 007 and the stunts, it's pretty amazing. But what really is great about those, the bad guys finally get it in the end. They get what they deserve, and we all feel good about that. Yay! We wanted them to get it. But what if we were the bad guys? And here comes Isaiah foretelling, telling us that God is about ready to get even. It's a time for paybacks. But suddenly the angel interrupts and says, "It's not perhaps as you thought. Fear not. Don't be afraid. God doesn't give us what we deserve, but what he gives us is something different and unexpected. What he gives us is what we need. And what we need, perhaps, is comfort. What we need is forgiveness. And Isaiah tells us that God comes with an offer of comfort as a mother offers comfort to her child in distress. God sends us a Savior to be born in the usual way it happens in our world. God comes to make war by making love, and this is unexpected. He comes to make peace not by taking life, but by making life, and that in a very unexpected way. How does he do it? Well, the normal way. Through childbirth, the way that we do it. That was the sign that was given to us, childbirth. Well, we know about that. We know a lot about it. And as signs go, it's really not much of one at that. Women give birth to children every day. It's normal, it's natural, it's common, it's expected in this world. But as there's something different about this newborn infant that's about to be delivered. And through this one, God is doing a new work. And what he wants to do is gather a people around himself to become a holy people, a new people set aside for himself. This is good news, and it's not just for the Jews. It's not just for Jerusalem. It's also for people like us. It's for the Gentiles as well. You see, God is in a family way, and he wants to start something here, and it's a new work. It's a brand new work, but he starts small. And he grows Jesus up into a human village a lot like ours. God thinks big, but he starts small. And then he wants to expand his family to include everyone in the world, the entire earth. This is good news, and it's for every one of us and not just a few. It's not restricted. So what we hear from the angel is that reassuring word, fear not. Fear not, because God has provided a Savior. The bad news is that we need a Savior. There's something about us and about human beings that needs saving that isn't quite right. Great news that we have a Savior. Bad news that there is a reason that we need one. But the good news is that God does not want to make war on us, but he wants to make peace in a very different way. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I always had special times with my mother, and she always used to do the things because she was a stay-at-home mom, and I was privileged to have one of those growing up in the 60s. And I don't know about you, but every now and then, and again, my mom wanted to take the measure of me. And as little boys are growing up, she would take us into the utility room, my sister and I, behind the door, and a pencil, and she'd take out the ruler or the yardstick, and she'd say, now stand straight, up against the wall, not like that, just stand straight, normal, but straight. And then they'd take the ruler and put it on top of your head so they could make the mark with a pencil, and then you measure to see where you were and how much growth there has been since last time, whether it was last Christmas or perhaps your birthday. That's what my mother used to do. She used to take the measure of us. And I don't know about you, but as my father's son, I always wanted to grow to be just a little bit taller than my dad. How many boys here wanted to grow to be a little bit taller than their dads? Come on, guys. Did you make it? Did you? Some of us far exceeded our fathers. Hey, Matt, did he make it? Well, my father was 5'10 and a half, almost 5'11". And even going into my junior year, I was the second shortest one in my high school. I was about 5'1", and I used to look up at my father and say, I don't know. But all of a sudden, I hit that growth spurt. And, when I got to be 5'11", I said, oh, there's a possibility. And then 5'11 and a half. Gotcha, Dad. And then I wanted to make 6 foot, but Lou, I don't think I'm ever going to reach your altitude. Sorry. It just didn't happen. I tried. I ate the right things. My Wheaties, spinach. Well, I don't know what happened. Never quite made it. I was pretty shocked a few years ago when I did an ordinary. I went to the doctor because it was time for that annual checkup. And the nurse came along. She said, hop up there on the scale. Let's see how tall you are. And she takes the measure of it and she says, 5'10 and a half. And I looked at her and I did a double take. And I said, what do you mean? Have I lost altitude? And I said, hey, that can't be right. Let's do this again. And anyway, she cleaned my glasses and she said, nope, same as before. Taking the measure. You want to know what that word measure means? Well, that's what God does with us. And that's really what the word sin means. It's when God takes the measure of us. And unfortunately, I wanted to be as tall as my father. Well, we're challenged to be as tall as our Heavenly Father. Jesus came and he brought good news, but at first it wasn't good news, it was bad news, because what he showed us is that we don't measure up to our Heavenly Father. Jesus challenged us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is. That means you and I need to do it right every time, all the time, for the rest of our lives, 100% perfectly every time. Have you ever made a mistake with your mouth? If I haven't yet tonight, it will probably happen before I get off the platform here. We all do it. That means that we don't measure up. That means that we're not quite up to stature, up to the same measure as Christ and as our Heavenly Father. What that means is, well, the Bible has a word for that, and the real simple word for that is sin. It means we have fallen short of the glory of God. We're not quite where we want to be. We aspire to that, to do it right, get it right, be good. Great things. We have extraordinary dreams. But there are moments where we blunder and we fall short. And others know it even better than we do. And God knows that as well. That's the bad news. The bad news is that it's impossible to reach the same altitude as our Heavenly Father. We try to be like Him. We try to be like Jesus. But we will never quite measure up. That's the bad news. The good news is, when we start to feel bad about that, the angel says, "Wait, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all people, including you and you and you and me." It's for every one of us. It's unrestricted. It's for everyone who is here tonight, and not a single one of you is here by accident. Whether or not you think somebody else had a reason to bring you here, I know that God had a reason to draw you here tonight, and because He has a word for you, and it's a word of comfort, and a word of healing, and a word of hope. Oh, right in the midst of the siren, huh? In the midst of the world full of bad news, this is a God who has a good word for us. A good word to tell us that a Savior has been born for us. And this is means for us that God has taken matters into His own hands, that God provides a Savior for us in His Son. I don't know if any of you have ever been to London. If you have and you've had a chance to ride the tubes, the underground, they have a fun little phrase. At least it's kind of interesting for me coming from the States. And when you're right there about to get ready to get on one of the cars for the underground, there's a little sign that says, "Mind the gap." You know what I'm talking about? It's the distance between the platform and the subway car, the underground car that you're going to enter. But you have to be careful. There is that little gap, and I have no idea how far down it goes, but you don't want to get your foot hooked in there. Mind the gap. You see, we have a God who does mind the gap. He cares that we don't measure up. That's the good news. The good news is that He takes care of the problem for us. And on that night when He told us that the problem had been taken care of, what we hear is that once the angel blocked the way of the shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone down upon them, then all the others showed up. The amplitude must have been amazing. The heavens lit up, blazing with the glory of God. And the angels started singing that wonderful anthem, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is discouraged." No, among people with whom He is well pleased. Say well pleased.
Well pleased.
Well pleased.
Well pleased.
We have a God who is well pleased to come and be among us. We have a God who has made peace with us and who wants to care for us. And so I remember that time when I was a boy and, you know, I tried to stand on my toes so that I would measure up. And I thought about standing on one of these and standing a little bit taller. But you know what? The good news of Christmas is, the good news is that we don't need to stretch. We can't. No matter how high we stretch, at the tips of our toes and the reach of our fingertips, we'll never quite measure up. The good news is that God already knows that. So He took action to come to us. Heaven descending to earth, He took action to send us a Savior. Why? Because God minds the gap. He doesn't want any distance between you and Him. The same kind of relationship that Jesus had with the Father, He wants to offer you tonight. You could leave this sanctuary, this space, knowing that you are a child of God, that you are one of God's daughters, one of God's sons. You could leave tonight having that same kind of intimacy that Jesus had. He is the Savior that the Father has sent to help you reach. He's the one who reaches down to you, who gives us a hand up because He knows that we can't reach that high. He's the one who has sent a Savior to do it for you and for me. And when we hear that news, then we're told to rejoice. And what I love about this particular story is that when Jesus arrived on earth, He did it in the usual way that we do. He arrived in the same way that most of us did, through childbirth. And what I love about it is that He grew up around us and with us so that we could get to know Him. Why? So that we wouldn't have to be afraid of God anymore. He grew up like us, with us, so that we would understand, so that we would know him, that we would see in Jesus the Father's love, the Father's heart, to see who our Heavenly Father really is. And so we hear that great news, which is good news for all of people, every single one of us. And it all happens when a child is born for us. You know, I've had an opportunity over a couple, the last few days, to hear some great news like that. I've heard from different fathers, and one of the fathers I heard from, actually, he's a grandfather now, and he was just hoping that his granddaughter would be born. She was due on Christmas, that she would be born before Christmas, and she was on Friday. So I saw him Saturday, and this grandfather, I can tell you, was very, very excited. And he had all the vital statistics. He knew the name, and he knew the weight. And how big was she? 21 feet. And we said, wow, she was big, wasn't she? Wow, 21 feet. Are you sure about that? Boy, it would take the glory of the Lord to pull that off. On the night that the Savior was born, it was the angels who sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men and women with whom he is well pleased. And then after that, by the time you get to the end of the story, you know who's joining in? Those amazing shepherds. They're saying the same thing. Glory to God. We are told they were praising and glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women. Well, this is the night that we celebrate the birth of a Savior. I don't know where you are. Some of us have overreached. Some of us have underachieved. What I do know is that this is the night that we celebrate God sending a Savior, sending his own Son in a form that we can recognize so that we don't need to be afraid, so that we can see what the Father's heart really is like. Some of you are still minding the gap, and I can tell you that God does, but he made a way for you to cross that gap. He's made a bridge. And tonight is the night that you can know that your sins are forgiven and that God's love belongs to you. He wants every one of us to leave knowing that he is your Father and that you are his daughter, his son, his child, every one of us. Thanks be to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Great news for all people everywhere. Amen.